there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Andrea Lorien, one of the producers on Vermont Edition. And I wanted to let you know that what you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Short and sweet, right to the good stuff.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Michaela Lafrak. And today is a good day to be green. We're starting today's show the day after the Boston Celtics won their 18th NBA championship, which leads all franchises for most titles in league history. Take that, Lakers fans. But we're also celebrating another green today, with a focus on Vermont Green FC. That would be the Vermont Green Football Club. Football as in soccer, just to be clear. Vermont Green regularly sells out games played at Virtue Field in Burlington as part of the USL, United Soccer League 2 division, and the team currently sits in third place with a record of 5 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws. The club also distinguishes itself with a mission dedicated to environmental justice. They donate 1% of the club's annual revenues to approved environmental partners and to a goal of becoming a net zero soccer club. And they're not done innovating. This Saturday will mark a first for the Green as they field an all-women's team in an exhibition match on their home pitch against FC Laval of Ligue 1 Quebec. It's a prelude to explore the potential expansion of the club to include a full-season women's team in Vermont. And today on the program, we have two guests integral to the upcoming match. Patrick Inferna is a co-founder of the Vermont Green FC and oversees media communications with the team. And we're also joined by Sam Mewis. Her many achievements include being a World Cup champion, and she'll be coaching the women's game on Saturday. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Totally our pleasure. And listeners, you can join this conversation as well. Have you attended a Vermont Green game? Are you excited for this Saturday's historic match? We also want to hear about your relationship with soccer, or football as it's called overseas. Maybe you have kids just starting out in a local soccer league, or some that have been playing competitively for years. And tell us, what do you love about the beautiful game? And if you'd like to know more about Vermont Green and its efforts to field an all-women's team, give us your best shot. Give us a call at 800-639-2211. That number again is 1-800-639-2211. You can also send an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Patrick Inferna, I want to make sure that we have you with us. You're with us here on the a very interesting place right now, right? Where are you right now?
Yeah, actually, I'm here now. I think I actually had just lost service for a second there, but I'm actually on the bus with the men's squad. We're on our way down to Connecticut for one of our away games, but happy to be here and hoping that my service will stick it out for me here.
Yeah, we hope so too, and we are excited to have you on the team bus. That's kind of a live feel for us here. Prove to us, though, that you're on the team bus. Have the team give us a Let's Go Green cheer out there.
Oh my gosh.
On a 1, 2, 3.
You know, I think most of them are
Are they asleep?
Right.
Let's wake them up.
Reed, can I get a Let's Go Green?
Huh?
Just say Let's Go Green.
Let's go green.
All right, thanks. You're on.
Fair enough. Let the other ones sleep. They got a big game today against Danbury. AC Connecticut is where you're headed right now. You know, Patrick, this is such an exciting time for Vermont Green FC. And for folks who may not be familiar with the league, with the team, tell us about USL2 soccer. I mean, who are the players that make up this league? It's quite an array, I understand.
Yeah, definitely. So USL League 2 is an interesting league. It's technically the fourth tier of American professional soccer, but it's a semi-professional league that plays from May to really just kind of late July, early August, if you make it deep in the playoffs. So it's really designed to be a pre-professional league for collegiate players, kind of gets an extra season of play. Because, you know, as far as development goes in the rest of the world, you really kind of need to play year-round. So while these guys are playing at Division I colleges, they find it beneficial to play these summer leagues like USL2. We were also fortunate enough, you know, to be playing games back in March and April in something called the U.S. Open Cup. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a, you know, it is a diverse array of kind of how this comes together, which, you know, has its own unique challenges. But it's a fun league, and I think we've gotten some pretty cool players and names coming through over the years.
I'm glad you brought up that U.S. Cup last year because, as I understand it, Vermont Green FC beat a team that was a bit higher on level. Was it a Lexington, Kentucky team? Is that right?
Yeah, so we played against, as you know, we're USL League 2. We played Lexington SC from USL League 1. So that's a fully professional, year-round, you know, fully compensated full-time players. And we hosted them at Virtue Field. And we got a really entertaining 4-3 victory. It was kind of, it was very good for us. And I think objectively, it was.
Well, I think we may have
more entertaining.
Yeah, I think you just dropped out there for a second there, Patrick. Keep on talking, though, if we can get you. These
soccer
are
games you could have watched, and it was, I'm coming around a curve on 89. I think Vermonters will understand this is a bit of a rough sound.
Vermonters will be very forgiving of the dropouts, given the mountains and our signal and that sort of thing. We'll stick with you as long as we possibly can.
Yeah.
I have to imagine, Patrick, that today, that, you know, going to Danbury, we're talking about this heat wave that's in effect, and I'm sure it'll be just as hot in Connecticut. I'm wondering if this will affect both teams, obviously. Is there an effort, though, to conserve energy for the latter stages of the match today?
Yeah, I mean, navigating games like this in this sort of heat is a challenge in itself that our coaches and our players are prepared for. But it's really, you know, fortunately these leagues have adjusted some rules and they have hydration breaks. I think it's like every 15 minutes or every half hour. But it really is it's difficult. And I think, you know, to go into something about our club that's in the bigger picture here, like this is the latest edition of how our club that has an environmental justice mission is also needing to confront.
Yep, a little bit of a drop out there. Go ahead. Yeah, I think what I think you're talking about.
Signal of a climate crisis.
I'm picking up half words here, Patrick. I think you're dropping out a little bit, but I think what I'm hearing you saying is that, you know, being aware of this heat wave, you're very aware as well of climate change and that the team is committed to doing something about becoming a net zero soccer club. And that's something that I do want to get more into as we get into the conversation. Sam Mewis, are you there with us now? Can we speak with you for a moment?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. I want to ask about, you know, first of all, I have to say, Sam, I'm a little bit starstruck speaking with you. To say that you've had an amazing career in soccer already, that's putting it mildly. You are a 3-time National Women's Soccer League champion. You were also part of the U.S. Women's National Team, as I understand it, that won the World Cup in 2019. So I'm wondering, how did your career path end up taking you to Vermont to coach the first ever women's game for Vermont Green FC?
Oh, my gosh, I know. What a good question. So I retired actually at the beginning of this year. I've had a knee injury for years and years, and unfortunately I just couldn't play anymore. And so upon retiring, I got a job and it's remote. I'm doing lots of media coverage for women's soccer. I have 2 podcasts a week. It's called The Women's Game. But working remote, I realized I could live wherever I wanted to. And I grew up about 20 miles south of Boston. I love New England, so I didn't want to go far. And honestly, Vermont just really seemed like the right place. It seemed like such a great collection of people and nature and incredible organizations. So it's been incredible. I moved here and got to meet the Vermont Green ownership group and the team and spend some time around the team. And it honestly kind of just happened. And now here I am coaching a game.
That's really exciting. And, you know, there are some players with strong Vermont connections that are going to take the pitch on Saturday. What can you tell us about some of the players folks around these parts might know, like Jill Brody and Olivia White?
Well, you know what? I have only been exposed to them very briefly. We actually have our first training session tomorrow. There are some girls local. I know there's a few girls that play soccer at UVM.
Yep. That would be Jill Brody is one of those. Yep.
Yep, but some of them are traveling in. So our first official team meeting and training is actually tomorrow. We'll train Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then play in the game on Saturday. So it's pretty quick, but I feel really excited and confident that we've been given some great resources to really try and put a good product out there on the field. And I know that the women coming to play in this game are all really excited for the opportunity. So I think I don't know them super well yet, but I'm very excited to get to know them.
This might seem like a silly question, given everything you've accomplished in your career and some of the big stages you've played on, but are you at all nervous to be coaching this game? Because as I understand it, it's your first coaching experience.
It is my first coaching experience. And luckily, I am going to have some help. Brad Agoose is going to be like kind of co-coaching with me. I know he has a ton of experience. We've been talking over some practice plans, some formations that we're considering playing in the game. I am a little bit nervous because I feel really so honored to have been considered to be a part of this. Obviously, I think the soccer community in Vermont is it's small, but it's established, and Vermont Green is a really well-known club. And to kind of have faith in me to be involved when I don't really have much coaching experience yet, though I do have a lot of playing experience, I feel really excited and like I want to do a good service for the club. But when I kind of zoom out, it is just a really exciting opportunity. I definitely want us to win the game because I think it will be so fun for the club and for the fans who are coming, and to kind of showcase the talent of the players and to just make it kind of a celebratory experience. But I think that in general, just the fact that this is all coming together, it's coming together quickly and seems to have a lot of kind of like excitement around it. I'm a little bit nervous, but I am really, really excited. I think it's going to be a positive kind of no matter what.
Yeah, we can hear your excitement coming through loud and clear, and I think that's wonderful. We are speaking with Sam Mewis and also Patrick Inferno. We're going to get him back on the phone in just a moment to get a better connection. And they are involved with Vermont Green FC. If you would like to ask a question of World Cup champion Sam Mewis, who's going to be coaching the Vermont women's team this Saturday, give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also send an email to vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Patrick Inferno, I think we have you back on the line now. And how are you doing there? We got a connection with you there?
Yeah, I think we're in better shape here. I'm switched over to my phone. And I do want to thank you for your patience. Apologize. I'm a big VPR fan, so to fumble like this early on is very hard for me.
Like I said, our listeners are used to this sort of thing happening. It is a challenge to broadcast in the state of Vermont. You never know how things are going to be affected by the mountains. Patrick, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was folks who may not have been to a Vermont Green game at Virtue Field before, beyond the excellent play they're going to see on the pitch, what are some of the things that they can expect at a game that are also kind of fun, that are not directly related to the play on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that we've sort of prioritized when building Vermont Green and building our match day experience is that there's something for everyone there. Like, obviously, this is a soccer club, and it's people come to watch entertaining soccer, but we really do believe that the games themselves are meant to feel like many other Vermont gatherings. They're meant to feel like a community affair. Like, you're meant to be there with your neighbors and your friends and you're meant to enjoy, you know, the food trucks and the tabling partners and listen to the speakers at halftime. And, you know, we want people to come away having, again, watched great soccer, but really felt like they're part of something bigger and part of a movement, really. So, we have really great local food trucks. We usually have organizations tabling. We often have free Ben & Jerry's ice cream at these games. I think it's generally just a kind of a good time.
And the club started in 2022, so you're into your third season now. Has the fan interest kept up? Because I know that at the beginning it was kind of gangbusters there.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we grow every game. Obviously, you know, there's a capacity to this stadium, 2,500 fans, but it, with each season, it's grown and just it, not even just at the stadium. The amount of times we are, you know, strolling downtown or the waterfront and we see people, you know, in the gear or talking about the team, or when fans like stop our players in the supermarket, it's really become a phenomenon that's super fun, but also, you know, it's humbling for us. Like it really is an excellent thing to share with this community. In regards to the women's game, I mean, for us, we're under the impression this will be the biggest crowd that Virtue Field has ever experienced. We're going to open up the hill on the north side of the stadium for people to stand and watch. And I think it'll be 2,500 plus many, many more. So,
Wow. So there might be some standing room only crowd there on Saturday. That would be fantastic. It'd be nice if we get a break in this heat wave as well. How did this come about, this idea of exploring the possibility of a full season women's team and then, you know, coming up with this exhibition match? How did that all come about?
Yeah. So, I mean, Vermont Green FC was started like really from scratch. It was an idea amongst friends, and you know, the
founders that we have, like we knew men's soccer, so that's where we started. But the idea of what Vermont Green is and what it can be, you know, the sights were always set on expanding to women's game. And you know, the youth game and just more than just, you know, what you started with. And we looked at this season and we started, you know, looking at the USL, who have a USLW league and things like that. And we just were ready. We had the footing to get started. One of the most kind of wild coincidences, I suppose, that has really become so beneficial to us. And her involvement really has, I think, energized and fast-tracked a lot of what we wanted to do. But yeah, I think this exhibition match is meant to show that we're committed to it, even if it's going to take maybe, you know, a season or two to get the full-time team. But it's meant to show that women's soccer has a place here in Vermont, and really it's just, oh, there's an appetite for it, a major appetite for it. So yeah, we're trying to just kind of get a little bit out front, and then show people that we're working to bring the bigger picture as soon as we can.
Sam Mewis, you were saying that, you know, you would love to get a win in this exhibition match. You're going to be taking on this team out of Quebec, FC Laval. They're listed as a League One team. Now, I don't know if that translates, you know, to the level of what you are in USL here with this women's team. But do you know anything about this Quebec team, how good they might be? Are they going to be a big challenge?
Honestly, I feel like sound so unprepared for this job. I do not know that much about the team that we're playing. I do have an understanding of the kind of player that we're getting for our game. And I think that they'll definitely be up to a challenge. So I'm really just looking forward to getting the team together for the first time, to starting to just honestly learn everybody's names, learn their positions, learn how we might work together on the field. I think that an exhibition game like this is such an incredible opportunity to showcase what women's soccer might look like in Vermont. And the competition is definitely pretty inherently important to me. I'm a very competitive person, but I think above any of that, this is just such a great opportunity to provide this type of game for the community and for the club to showcase that they really value women's soccer and that they are exploring what that might look like to bring a team here.
Yeah, this is coming together really quickly, and I appreciate the challenge that you have in front of you because you're just getting to know these women. It's not like you've been coaching them for a long time. You know their strengths and weaknesses. I wonder if working with Brad Agus, you'll be able to quickly determine, I mean, can this happen in the game of soccer where you say, ah, I'm seeing players here who are dynamic, they're more of a run-and-gun style, or will you be able to assess whether the strengths of this team will be more defensive if you just play more of that style? I mean, what are you going to be looking for when you first see these women on the pitch?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. Brad and I have met a few times to discuss kind of exactly this. That was one of our conversations around maybe what formation to play. Should we be a little bit risky in our formation and play pretty aggressively, pretty attacking-oriented, or should we stick to a shape, especially in that back line that these players may be a little bit more used to, that may be a little bit more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to give away any of our secrets just yet. I do really care about this game, but it's certainly a consideration. And I think luckily we have 3 full training sessions to really get to know the tendencies of the players and how they might work together as a team. And we also have the ability to adjust during the game. Maybe we start off a little bit too conservative and we realize we can get forward a little bit more. I think we just have to establish how to communicate that to the players and maybe have a few things in our back pocket where we could make a sub or make a formation change or even just change our playing style a little bit as we go.
I appreciate you saying you don't want to give away any potential strategies here because we do have quite a few listeners in the Montreal area and in Quebec. And if any of them have to be fans or probably associated with the Quebec team, we don't want to give anything away. We want to give you the best chance to win. Patrick Inferno, I wanted to get into a little bit more into this idea about becoming a net zero soccer club. This is something that Vermont Green FC is really committed to. It's in your mission statement. What does that mean to become a net zero club, and how would you achieve it? Patrick, are you with us?
Check. Can you hear me right now?
We absolutely can hear you right there. Did you hear my question about becoming a net zero team?
I did. Yeah. So becoming a net zero club is you know, it's the first pillar of our kind of mission statement. We have, you know, 5 pillars. And it's really, you know, just even in our 3rd season, we're in the early phases of how we can approach that, and how we can bring our environmental justice missions to the forefront with a kind of our actions. You know, and some of the examples of the things that we do is just like with our gear, we have jerseys made from sustainable materials. We have merchandise made from sustainable, organic, innovative materials. We, you know, we're trying to track everything from, you know, what we're doing at the stadium to what we're doing in our transportation, the game. It's really a lot of proving a concept early on and really kind of figuring out what things we need to do efficiently to get to this net zero goal. But it's also accompanied by our other goals, you know, like fighting systemic racism in soccer, and as well as just kind of what we've learned to be sort of the biggest, or not the biggest, but sort of the most prevalent pillar of our mission, is, which is really just education and awareness. Using our games, using our players, using the medium that is a Vermont Green FC game and experience to just bring people to the conversations about the climate crisis and about environmental justice. Yeah, so that's sort of kind of the approach that we have to this bigger picture of using the game of soccer and having it not just be, you know, this competition on the field for 90 minutes, having it really be something that brings you to, you know, bigger conversations about bigger pictures off the field.
I do have to ask about one of Vermont Green's sponsors, and this would be the local solar panel manufacturer Sun Common. Now, they've been in the news because last week their parent company, iSun, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So we don't know what will ultimately happen as that process moves forward, but I am wondering if, as a subsidiary of iSun, will Sun Common's sponsorship with Vermont Green FC be affected by this at all?
You know, to be honest, you know, our relationship with Sun Common has been really fantastic since our first year. The Vermont offices that we work primarily with have been incredible supporters of the club, and we you know, obviously are very aware of this news about iSun, but our contracts, you know, like how we work with our partners, you know, who are mostly Vermont based partners like Sun Common, it's kind of season to season. So right now it's as far as how it affects our season and our club's, you know, viability, everything is fine on that front. But you know, our hope is that things work out for Sun Common and the workers that are here in Vermont, and next year when we kind of come back to the table of how we're going to get ready for the 2025 season, that, you know, hopefully a you know, healthy Sun Common can be part of that conversation. But as far as how it affects us, we're in good shape.
And concentrating on the soccer, which is what you have to do, of course. Sam Mewis, I'm wondering, since this announcement came out that, you know, there's going to be this exhibition game with a women's team on Saturday, have you heard any buzz locally around this? Or maybe even some former teammates or friends of yours, have they reached out to you and said, hey, this sounds really exciting? Anyone wishing you luck for your coaching debut?
Yes, actually. I've been talking about it a lot on my podcast. And we've gotten a ton of like engagement via email from fans and listeners who are really, really excited about it. I think, again, the Vermont Green just has such a great reputation, kind of what you were just asking Patrick about. Their values are so in the right place and so aligned with the communities here in Vermont and with mine. And it's one of the reasons that I moved here. So, I know that I have some family coming into town for the game to cheer us on. I've invited some neighbors and some friends that I've made locally here. So I know that tickets are few and far between, but definitely really excited about it. And I've heard like a ton of great feedback, and a lot of my friends and family are really excited.
That's fantastic. What do you miss most about playing? You mentioned that you had a knee injury that kind of took you out of the game. There must be times when you just wish you could be back out there playing at the highest competitive level.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I really do. I miss it a lot. I think the hardest part for me has been not being a part of a team in the same way that I've been used to for my whole life. I think I really miss those moments in the locker room before and after training where you're kind of just laughing and joking around. You always have friends around. The camaraderie that exists within a team culture is something that I have really missed as it's kind of left my life. So I think that when the Vermont Green asked me to come and be a part of this, it felt like really perfect timing. And to be able to be around a team again is something I really miss and really think will add a lot of happiness back into my life. So I just feel really, really grateful that this thing I've been missing a lot, I have this opportunity to kind of get a little bit of it back.
You know, I'm thinking back to the time when my daughter first started playing soccer. And, you know, she's since moved on to other things. She's more into dance. But there was a thing called the Greater Burlington Soccer League, which is still around here. And we're talking about, you know, kids as young as 4, 5, 6 years old getting out there on the pitch and running around. And that sense of community and team building, even in those early stages, I have to imagine is so important, especially for young girls. And I have to imagine, too, that you played soccer at that level. When did you first start getting out there, kicking the ball around?
Yeah, I played in a similar league, like a kindergarten league, when I was about 5 years old. I grew up in Massachusetts, so probably a pretty similar setup to here in Vermont. But I also have an older sister who actually plays professionally as well, and always was playing with her in the yard. I think just like how you said, soccer really gave me a space that I felt I belonged in, and it gave me a goal to focus on, and it gave me a good relationship with my body, being athletic, moving, feeling like I was capable and good at something, I think did wonders for my confidence. So really getting young players and especially young girls into sports in a game like soccer, where you have to learn to be a part of a team early on, I think is really, really valuable.
And of course, the success of the women's national team has got to be a factor here, too. I mean, there are women now who have become, you know, household names and big stars. And I have to think that the success of that league and, of course, the World Cup and all the success there has had an impact as well.
Totally. I think we've seen, fortunately, I had role models, female soccer player role models. When I was growing up, I watched the women win the World Cup in 1999. Mm. I started having plenty of opportunities on the youth national teams and onto the senior national team. And now our professional league here in the United States, the NWSL, is in its 14th season. There's 14 teams. So the success and the growth of women's soccer really is, it's just absolutely blowing up. And I think that's in large part to the U.S. Women's National Team and just the way that that team has been supported and idolized. They've given such great representation for female soccer players, and it was such an honor to be a part of.
It must have felt great, too, to hear the news that finally there's some pay equity that's coming around, because that was such a disparity for so long. I don't think it's completely fixed yet. I think there's still some issues, too, with having the same kind of pitch that the men's and women's teams play on? Because I know that there were problems there, too.
There were some problems around the surfaces a few years ago. And then actually our national team sued U.S. Soccer for equal pay. And we actually won equal pay in 2022. We had a big celebration. So our CBAs and our pay structures are now equal. It was a huge moment for, I think, all women, and I think has really served to set the stage for a lot of other women's national teams, women's sports organizations to push for equal pay as well. The Danish women's national team just won equal pay with their federation, as their men's team really supported and helped them get there. So I think that women's soccer is really just in this moment of huge growth, and pay equity and equality is had a large part in that.
Well, given that, Patrick and Ferna, I'm wondering, you know, we're talking about this exhibition game coming up this Saturday, and this is kind of an exploration to see if a full season women's team can come here to Vermont. What are you looking for as this game Saturday? Is it a kind of bellwether to gauge the success of whether or not this can actually happen?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's less a test, because we already know. Like, we already know that this sport is viable. We already know that the appetite for the women's game is there. It's not a test of interest. It's a signal of what we want to do. And for the only reason that this is just an exhibition and not a full league yet is really just on resources and our ability to make it happen. Like, these are the things that the club is doing. We grow incrementally. We grow with an eye on sustainability, both, you know, environmentally, but also as a business. And I think we know that this is something that is, when, not an if.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's less testing if there's interest, and more testing, like, what it's like to double the size of our organization, really. It's more of that. But yeah, we're so excited. You know, we just already know that this is something that will be supported, and we're seeing it already with the tickets. This is the first Vermont Green game that's sold out before the opening of the gates. Like, we've had many sellouts, but usually they sell out the day of. This one, you know, we ran out of tickets. We're answering emails around the clock now, people trying to find some, and we're signaling people to go to the hill. And I think it's going to be pandemonium in the best possible way. And I think the way people are thinking about the women's game after this will be.
That's amazing. I didn't realize the game had already sold out before, like you said, even day of. That's a fantastic bellwether right there, I think. Sam Mewis, win, lose, or draw on Saturday, what will success look like to you on the pitch?
I think first and foremost, representing the club in a positive way. I think one of the messages that I'm planning on speaking with the women about is the opportunity that it is to be the first iteration of the women's team for this club. I think that we have a huge opportunity to set the standard for what the women's team might look like. And that comes down to the simple things: being on time, treating each other with respect, working hard on the field, engaging with the fans after the game. The way that we behave, win, lose, or draw, really is just the first kind of touch point for this team to move forward and kind of leap off of. So I'm really just looking for us to represent this club well, positively, and to engage with the community in a way that is memorable and feels good for everyone. I think that there's like no world in which this can't be a beautiful experience for everybody involved. And so again, I'm just super honored to be a part of it, and really just want to stress to the women the opportunity that's in front of us to kind of create and set the standard for this team.
It sounds incredibly exciting for Saturday, and I certainly hope that we get at least a little bit of a break in the weather by then. I know it's going to be tough for the men's team today, Patrick, but hopefully the temperatures won't be so high with such high humidity on Saturday, and we can just look forward to folks getting out there and having a great time. I want to thank you both so much for joining us today. I know we had some problems there with the connection as the bus is traveling to Connecticut. Patrick and Ferna, thank you so much for being with us today on the program. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's really fantastic to speak with you. And hopefully we'll see you out at a game sometime soon.
Absolutely. And Sam Mewis, I rarely get to talk with professional athletes. I am a big sports fan, and it has been such a thrill to speak with you, to talk with a world champion. It's been a real honor for me, and I appreciate you so much taking the time, and I wish you the very best of luck on Saturday.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you having us on. We're very excited.